Holiday baking season is upon us, everyone. Inspiration for cookies and sweetbreads can come from so many places. We'll be diving into holiday baking just ahead here on The Morning Show. But first, it is the year-end membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with my colleague here, Mike Arnold. And we are in our year-end membership drive. This is your public radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now is your chance to make sure we get to a good start to 2018. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, I'm trying to figure out the goal for this hour. I think it's either 7 or 35. I'm not sure which. We'll find that out in just a little bit. But any call right now would help us get closer to whatever goal that is. Your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gets us just one step closer to meeting that goal, and it means a strong start to the funding of the programs you'll count on in the coming year.
People who listen, people just like you, provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
And your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for your entire community. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to WPR because you count on unbiased reporting, interesting discussions you hear on the Ideas Network, and great music. You probably agree Wisconsin is a better place because we have all the access to high-quality news and entertainment programming.
And the quality is possible thanks to donors, people we call members. You're a listener. Now take that step to become a member with your first ever donation of, say, $120 or $10 a month. It makes Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the season of giving. Do something extra when you give to WPR. Your donation always supports the programs you love. And right now, you can help those in need. Ask for one of the Food Bank thank you gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Your gift will provide meals to people facing hunger in your area. Do two good things with your gift to WPR right now when you choose one of the Food Bank gifts at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Yes, what a great companion with the food drive for this end-of-year fall membership drive. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Arnold. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on every day. That's why your support during this year-end membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. And we know you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio only takes a couple minutes. You can tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It's quick. It's easy to do. And your gift right now really helps. It really matters. So take the next few minutes to support the station that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can be that person who breaks the ice during this membership drive by making that first pledge. We're still waiting for that first pledge. So make that call right now. This year-end membership drive is the last pledge drive of our centennial year. Tax-deductible pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
And this pledge drive, you can do two good things at once. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month, and you'll provide meals for those in need in your area. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a great time to become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's really easy to set up a convenient ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or credit card. You can get started by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And WPR is listener supported. That means your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Mike, and we'll be checking back in just a bit.
Sounds great.
We are exploring all things holiday baking this hour. Think almond cake, banana bread, rye, chocolate chip cookies. On this hour of the morning show, we're talking all things holiday baking with none other than Christopher Kimball. He is a chef who's been cooking for more than 35 years. He's famous for his bow tie. He hosts Milk Street Radio, which airs here on WPR. You may remember him from America's Test Kitchen. Now he films a TV show and shepherds a magazine and operates a cooking school at 177 Milk Street in Boston. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, your team shared with us this recipe for brown butter cardamom banana bread. Wow, this blew our minds. Why is this a special version of our go-to banana bread in the holiday baking rotation?
Well, if you think about our traditional baking in this country, which is terrific, but it comes from Northern Europe, and Northern Europe, you know, had about six spices, you know, salt, pepper being like five out of six. And the rest of the world uses spices liberally, you know, sometimes tablespoons of spices. And so our trick here, besides browning the butter, which is really a great technique in a lot of baking recipes to add flavor, is to add cardamom to the butter and the bananas. And cardamom, just a little over a teaspoon, just gives that wonderful flavor. It's warm. It's got a slightly exotic taste to it. And so you can take something as simple as banana bread and just add one spice. It's a good example of how this one addition can make all the difference. And I think that's symptomatic of what we found around the world. It's just big flavors and chilies, you know, fermented sauces like soy sauce and fish sauce and spices and handfuls of herbs. You can take the simplest recipe like banana bread and really dress it up with just one addition.
Another interesting technique, hot butter. What does hot butter do to the banana bread?
It's the melted butter. And mm-hmm. What happens when you brown butter is there's a lot of reactions going on in the butter. And, it obviously gets dark, but you can smell it in the pan. And it just caramelizes the flavors. You just get a wonderful flavor. So brown butter is used in lots of dishes. But instead of just melting butter and then adding the bananas, we brown the butter first. And that's something you can do in a lot of recipes too. It's very simple. It just adds a lot of flavor.
And by the way, this banana bread recipe and the other recipes we're going to be talking about this hour are found from the Milk Street Holiday Baking Recipes. They're on our website, WPR.org. And Chris, what do you say to the critics who don't think that banana bread has a place in holiday baking?
I've yet to meet the person that said that. I don't know where. They must be hiding out in a hunting camp somewhere in the North Woods. I don't know. I've never heard that before. Sure, of course it does. Quick breads is a great category. And in fact, if you in Europe, you know, very often everything is one layer. You know, you rarely get multi-layer cakes. So everything, almost everything is one layer through the Middle East, through Northern Europe. And they're easy breads or cakes to make. And just if you have some powerful flavors associated with them, they're great. So I'm a big fan of that. I mean, the multi-layer cake or tort, you know, that's fine, but it's a lot more work, and you have a filling and a frosting, and it's a very special occasion. But you can throw together a one-layer cake in a loaf pan and with 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it goes in the oven. So I'm a big fan.
What little changes can we make to our standard favorite holiday recipes, tweak a recipe just to perk it up, make it a little bit different?
Well, the one way, you know, if you see what's going on in the world of baking, bakers are coming to the conclusion that all-purpose flour, has no flavor. It's like veal, you know, it doesn't really have any flavor. And so they're starting to add other flours. Now, it could be as simple as a little bit of whole wheat, you know, maybe 20-30% of the total, certainly not more than half. another flour people are using, which you see more often these days, is a rye flour.
Mm-hmm.
It's slightly bitter. And so what they're trying to do is, one, add flavor by having more flavorful flours, and two, balancing sweet. I mean, if you think about most of the world, sweet is always balanced by something else, sour, bitter, whatever. And so something that's a little more savory or a little bitter or is a nice contrast to sweet makes a dish so much better. I was in London a year ago at the Violet Bakery, and the woman there used to cook with Alice Waters, a Chef Panisse. She makes an upside-down apricot cake, one-layer cake, and she used rye flour. And it was great because the rye flour has a lot of character and stood up to the sugar. So I would just think if you're going to bake, think about balancing the sugar with something else, or maybe add a little bit of, maybe not more than 30% of the white flour substitute with a different kind of flour, just to give it a little more character.
We're talking right now with Chris Kimball. He is a chef who's been cooking for more than 35 years. He's host of Milk Street Radio, which airs here on WPR, and we're getting his tips on holiday baking. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Do you have a question you want to run by, Chris? What's your strategy for incorporating new flavors on the treat tray? Do you surprise people, or do you give them a heads up when you're working out new goodies? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Chris, does everything we bake in December have to have cinnamon? Must we incorporate cloves and allspice at every corner?
No, it's funny. I mentioned earlier that, Northern Europe had a handful of spices, and unfortunately, cinnamon and allspice and nutmeg and cloves are sort of the four baking spices. And I think we use them much too much. Cinnamon, for example, is extremely powerful. I don't even put cinnamon in my apple pie anymore because I just want to taste the apples.
Mm.
So I would say be very wary of those spices and cut them by half at least. Now, other places, other people, though, they do different things. They might add pepper, a little pepper to a cookie. There are cookies, of course, that are have pepper in them. But think about other kinds of spices you could add, and try it out. Just add a quarter teaspoon, and you'll find that you can create something really terrific if you just think beyond those four classic spices. I think, and use spices sparingly when you're baking. I don't use them sparingly in savory foods, but a little bit goes a long way. So a whole teaspoon of cinnamon is going to blow out the rest of the dish. All you have to do is taste cinnamon. There's also, if you get a true cinnamon, it has a very floral, almost savory taste to it. And that's very different than the kind of cinnamon most people are used to. That's another substitution you can make, which would make a big difference in a baked good.
Let's go to Kim, who joins us in Boulder Junction. Hi, Kim.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. The question I often wonder is, if we're doubling a recipe, do we double baking soda, salt, baking powder, that type of thing, eggs? Can you help me with that, please?
Yeah, that's very problematic in baking. And the problem is when you have twice as much batter for a quick loaf or a cake or something else, the baking time is going to be different. The size of the pan is going to be different unless you're baking two separate pans. You have to be careful of that. You're right, not all the time would you necessarily double the leavener in a recipe. What I do is make two of the recipe separately. Also, when you have to fold in a lot of batter or beat a lot more egg whites, sometimes the batter doesn't end up as good as it would if you did one version of the recipe, because there's so much folding going on, you tend to deflate a batter. So a quick bread, probably, or cookies, not a problem. But a foam cake of some kind, I would be wary of that. I would probably just double a recipe by making it twice. You're much more likely to have a good result.
Kim, thanks so much for the question. Let's go to Jacqueline in Slinger. Hi, Jacqueline.
Yes, good morning. This year, I was planning on using some of my leftovers to make meat pies, and a lot of them call for a hot water pastry. and looking at different recipes, some call for splitting the fat, half of it going into the boiling water, half of it going into the flour. Some call for all the fat going into the boiling water. And then question is, calls for lard. Can I substitute my saved bacon grease for the lard to add better, more flavor to the hot water crust?
Okay, there's about eight questions there. Let me start at the beginning. The hot water crust is an old English recipe, and that's when crusts were more containers, you know, for food. In fact, in the old days, back in medieval times, pie crust was just used as a container. It wasn't actually eaten. So I've tried hot water crust. I don't love them. They're not particularly flaky. So I would not do that. I would use a traditional American crust where you're cutting the fat into the flour. Usually in a food processor, although you can do it by hand. You're right about lard. Lard is the best fat to use for flaky pie pastry, but you have to get leaf lard. That's the fat around the kidney in the pig. It has to be rendered, which means cooked very low heat with some water to render it out. You can buy rendered lard, of course. Most lard in the supermarket's not great because it's not leaf lard. It's fat from other places in the pig. But lard will generate if it's really good leaf lard, will be the best. What I usually do is mix half butter and half Crisco. I find that's the best go-to easy mix, so half and half. For 2.5 cups of flour, I'd use somewhere between 18 and 20 tablespoons of fat. So, you know, 8 to 10 tablespoons of butter, 8 to 10 tablespoons of Crisco. Cut that in. Make sure the butter is cold into the flour with a food processor. Make sure the flour is really coated with butter. It's better to overmix it than undermix it. And then add water. Obviously, you put salt and maybe some sugar in it. Then start adding water, and don't add too much water, but add enough to it really holds together.
Well, Jacqueline, I hope you had a pen there handy. Great tips. Are you a cookie exchange fan? Ever wonder what new cookies you can try out? We are exploring all things holiday baking this hour of the morning show. Chris Kimball stays with us. He hosts Milk Street Radio, which airs here on WPR. You can join the conversation on holiday baking, 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite recipe? Looking for a new twist on an old family tradition? Run it by Chris, 800-642-1234. We'll be back with more holiday baking in just a moment. And now it is time to do some year-end fundraising. This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Arnold in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the year-end membership drive. If you've been putting off donating to WPR in 2017, our centennial year, by the way, now is your time to take action. And if you have given or you're a sustainer, make a special gift right now, a year-end gift. It takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, Kate, there are some times when we have heavy lifting. We have to get like 400 pledges in like 2 minutes or something like that, and it just seems insane. Right now, we have some light lifting.
Okay.
Just 7 pledges in the next 35 minutes.
Doable.
I think we can do that. That's
yeah.
very doable,
yep.
But it's only doable if you help us. If you're an early riser and you enjoy the fact that you can talk to somebody like Christopher Kimball and ask advice on cooking, now's the time to make a pledge. This pledge drive is a great time to support the station you love.
And thank you if you've already given, by the way. And if you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And what are you supporting? Well, in just 1 month, there are hundreds of discussions on the Ideas Network, and you can take part in them. When you support WPR with a pledge, you're essentially making all of those conversations possible. So take that simple and powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
It's the season of giving, and you can do two good things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio right now. Your donation will support the programs that you rely on, and you can ask for one of the food bank gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month.
These thank you gifts provide meals to those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks, but it all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This year is our centennial. It's a special time that comes around, well, once in 100 years. We asked a few people, what are things you don't do very often?
I do not go on vacation very often.
I don't ride my bike enough.
I will do anything to avoid ironing.
Floss my teeth.
Like other rare things, a centennial is a special occasion. So celebrate with us right now by making a year-end gift. Consider giving $100. Thank you, and happy centennial.
And the way you could do that is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is probably the last pledge. This is definitely the last pledge drive. We will be talking about the centennial, 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio. So make your year-end centennial celebration gift. You've been meaning to do it. Now's the time to do it. I'm Mike Arnold with Kate Archer Kent. And your gift at $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount. And because it's the single largest source of our funding, is listeners, your gift is so important for the WPR programs you enjoy.
Perhaps you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member, so thank you so much. Please consider making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll help make this drive successful, and you'll support the programs you enjoy every day.
Just six more pledges to go to meet the goal for this hour. We have about a half an hour to do it. How many times do you get a chance to talk to somebody like Christopher Kimball and ask for advice about baking? It doesn't happen.
No.
You'd have to go to a book signing. You'd stand in line, and you probably wouldn't even have time to talk to you. You just have to sign your book, and that's all there is to it. Every day, the Ideas Network sets up conversations with really great people, and you're supporting that. 2017 marks 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio, so your gift now supports these conversations at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and it will give us a strong start, not only to 2018, but also to the next 100 years.
And it's a season of giving. Support the radio you love and do something extra. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and those for facing hunger in our area.
And if you're a sustaining member, thanks so much. Make today the day that you increase your support to WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge right now, so important. Mike, thanks so much, and we will be back after a little bit more of holiday cooking.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar.
It's that special time of year when we enjoy making and eating delicious homemade cookies, cakes, and breads. And Christopher Kimball is here to help us through this process. He hosts Milk Street Radio, airing here on WPR. He has a TV show, a magazine, runs a cooking school at 177 Milk Street in Boston. And you can ask your holiday baking questions. The expert with the bow tie is in the house, 800-642-1234, or post about holiday baking over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Chris, everyone has a chocolate chip cookie recipe, even if it's from the back of the, you know, yellow bag of semi-sweet morsels. You have a rye chocolate chip cookie recipe. What's the secret there?
Well, we talked a long time about whether we really wanted to mess with perfection. I mean, I made that recipe off the back of the bag for years, and it's a great recipe. Going back to an earlier discussion, we wanted a little more complexity in it, and therefore we used some rye flour along with the all-purpose flour, about equal amounts, and we found that, and we toasted the flour. Another trick in baking sometimes is, if you have whole wheat or rye flour or some of the kind of flour, just toast it, or even all-purpose flour, just toast it in a skillet for a few minutes.
You gotta walk us through that, because I have never toasted flour before. So run this by us.
Just get a 12-inch skillet, put it over medium-high heat, put the flour in it, you know, moving it back and forth for a few minutes, no more, 4 or 5 minutes, stir it a lot, and take it off heat. That's all there is to it. I mean, it's sort of like toasting spices in a skillet. And it just gives you this nutty, rich depth of flavor. And the rye, as I said earlier, is a little bitter, but it's diluted with the regular flour. Of course, you have all the sugar and the butter and the chocolate. So you get a really nice contrast. And I think, you know, here in Milk Street, our entire process, we have a cooking school here as well, is guided towards the notion of different flavors and textures coming together. So when you take a bite of a cookie, for example, you want a lot of stuff going on, right? I mean, you don't want just sweet, you know, or just chocolate. You'd like a little something to give you some contrast and depth of flavor. So just by substituting half the white flour with rye flour, you get a very different flavor. And they are really, I mean, these are really good cookies.
So the rye in these chocolate chip cookies, what type of taste does that bring out in the cookie?
Well, if I were dumb enough to complain about a chocolate chip cookie, which I hope I'm not that stupid, because everybody loves them. But if you think about them, it's sweet on sweet, right? I mean, they're sweet and they're chocolate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so by adding rye, it's more complex a flavor and has a little bit of bitterness to it. I mean, it's not bitter, but has a little bit of bitterness. And there's nothing better than having sweetness when it's paired with something that's a little savory or something that's a little bitter or something that opposes it a little bit. So it cuts down on the sweetness. There's nothing worse than just a mouthful of sugar, right? I mean, I love sugar. But in English, you know, a lot of European tradition is full of sugar. In fact, if you look at the old recipes, you really have to cut the sugar back because it's too sweet. I think what happened is the 1880s and 90s, refined sugar became cheap, right? And all of a sudden, even in a place like Boston, there were confectionery stores where you could go in and buy all sorts of sugar sculptures and lots of other things. People just fell in love with sugar. Up until that time, people didn't consume much because it was expensive, and it came in little hard pieces you had to grate. And all of a sudden, our recipes got incredibly sweet. So a little rye flour just balances that. It's still sweet, but it's sweet with a little bit of sophistication, a little bit of balance. And balance is an interesting thing in cooking. You know, if you balance one thing with a creamy with crunchy, for example, it just makes the eating so much more pleasurable when you have more things going on in the mouth.
And you chose a particular nut for this cookie as well.
Yeah, we do like pecans, and that's optional. Now, the problem is, you could probably divide the country not into blue and red states, but into nuts with my cookies, my chocolate chip cookies, and no nuts in my chocolate chip cookies. That would probably be a better way to do it. So some people will just not do that. But pecans have a really interesting flavor. And if you want a little more bitterness, you use walnuts because they're more bitter. But pecans, I think, have a rich, rich flavor. So if you like nuts in your cookies, we use pecans. If not, leave them out.
Well, you know, where we source our holiday recipes is also an interesting discussion because I know I love to collect church cookbooks and page through those collections of recipes. And sometimes I try out the recipes, sometimes they work well. Other times it seems like some, you know, information is being left out and I have to wing it. How should we approach a brand new recipe we haven't tried before?
Well, that's the question. You know, I once did a Fanny Farmer dinner years ago. It was actually on public television, and we cooked 12 recipes out of the Fanny Farmer cookbook from 1896. It took us about 18 months to figure out the recipes because I think ingredients have changed, techniques have changed, the instructions were loose, shall we say. People were used to doing things a certain way, and so they didn't write that down because they assumed you knew what you were doing. So to answer your question, the first question is source. You know, up until a few years ago, I think people were a bit suspicious of, you know, when you Google a recipe. It's gotten better. I think you have more access to better recipes than you ever did. But I always look at the source. You know, whose recipe is it? If I don't know the person, I've never heard of them, I'm going to be a little suspicious of the recipe because I don't know their cooking. If it's somebody I do know, if it's Jacques Pepin, for example, or if it's Yotam Ottolenghi, or it's Fuchsia Dunlop, or, you know, whatever, Claire Patak, somebody I know, then I'm good. But if I don't know them, I'd be a little concerned. And then the second thing is I will look at a recipe to see if anything doesn't make sense. You know, if you've been cooking a long time, I mean, not just professionally, but if you've been cooking a long time, you get a pretty good sense of a brownie recipe or chocolate chip cookie recipe or banana bread or whatever it is. Something looks odd.
You have a working knowledge.
That's true. But, you know, what you can always do is go back to a source you trust.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, if you like the Fannie Farmer cookbooks or whatever you like, go back to the place where you cook a lot of recipes from and check the new recipe against the old recipe and see if anything looks out of whack, you know, and that would be a good way just to quickly check to see if there's a problem. If it's a stir fry, it's probably not as problematic as it is if it's in baking. Baking's tricky. But I just spoke to Grace Young. She wrote a great book about stir frying recently, 2010. And she says, you know, she looks at a stir fry recipe. She grew up in Canton in China. And she knows that you only cook so much food at a time. So 12 ounces of beef, she knows because of her training, you can't cook more than 12 ounces of beef in a stir fry one time, otherwise it steams. So she has these little formulas she's gathered over the years. And so she sees the stir fry recipe says 2 pounds of beef or pork. She knows that it's not going to work because the wok's going to cool off. So everybody who cooks, even if you're not doing it professionally, you know, you get to understand some ratios and look around. But always go back to a recipe you know, compare it to the new one and see if there's a difference.
It is that special time of year when we enjoy making and eating delicious homemade cookies, cakes, and breads. Chris Kimball is here to help us make the most of our holiday baking, and you can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. Run your questions about your favorite holiday recipe by Chris. He might have a new twist on it, but first, let's talk about something else that's very sweet. And that is the year-end membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Arnold. Our year-end membership drive is a time for you to think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2017 and think about how you want to keep them going strong in 2018. And then take action with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And think about what you're paying for. You're paying for access to all sorts of different kind of people on a daily basis here on the Ideas Network. Christopher Kimball, renowned baker and chef and cooker and all those things, whatever you want to call him, is here ready to take your calls on a regular basis. And that access is what you're paying for. And maybe you're still thinking about those rye chocolate chip cookies, which I am. I really want to do that. That sounds like a great recipe. But this hour is an example of what happens. I mean, it's not just discussions about politics. It's not just discussions about, you know, more serious issues. It's also things like baking and life, and the chance for people to come together and have these conversations is really what makes this show what it is.
Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift right now that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are getting close to the goal for this hour. Four more pledges in
nice.
The next 20 minutes or so. We can do it. I want everybody who gets up early. I get up early. I like to get up early because I get stuff done before everybody else. I like that. If you enjoy that and you enjoy the fact that there's a great conversation for you every time you wake up in the morning and people don't sound tired, they sound like they're interested. Well, now's the time to make your pledge. Your gift right now is so important. Support the programs you rely on every day.
And thank you if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from Wisconsin Public Radio by being a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. That's a gift of $100 a month or more. That's $1,200 a year. You can provide an important piece of funding for the programs you rely on.
Let's work together to build on this powerful resource that benefits so many people throughout Wisconsin. Make your leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
We've seen a recent increase in our childcare costs as my daughter is currently going to a preschool.
Yes, my newspaper subscription just went up.
If you've looked at my electric bill lately, it has gone up substantially.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Doesn't matter what amount you pledge. The important thing is to make the pledge. You can set the amount. The rate doesn't go up every year like a lot of other things in life. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Mike Arnold here with Kate Archer Kent. We're raising money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs you enjoy on the air, whether you pledge $10 a month or $100 a month or just $50. We appreciate and count on your gift.
December is a great time of year to think about what is important to you. And because WPR is important to you, make a gift to support the station you count on. You'll feel great when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're really close to meeting the goal for the first hour of the drive. Three more pledges to go.
Excellent.
And about 15 minutes to do it. We could do it. You can get us a third of the way there. If you call your mom and you call with her, you'll get us two-thirds of the way there. If you call your mom, her neighbor, and you, we'll get there.
I'm
so
impressed
let's
with your
do
fractions
it.
This
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, I'm really good at fractions. This year's membership drive is the last pledge drive of our centennial year. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 will be a belated birthday card to this radio station, and it will ensure a bright future for the programs you rely on.
WPR is listener-supported. That means that your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. Love the smell coming from the kitchen on weekend afternoons. So much fun to bake with family and friends. And then the tasting. So many different cookies and breads. Chris Kimball is here to answer our questions about holiday baking, give us tips on how we can inspire some of our old recipe standbys. Chris is host of Milk Street Radio. It airs on WPR. You can join in, ask a question, 800-642-1234. What's your tried and true recipe? What baking tradition reminds you of home? Are you baffled by a certain recipe that you can't seem to perfect? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Winthrop right now in Walworth. Hi, Winthrop.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a big fan of yours, Chris. I've always dreamed of having to ask you this question, so now I get my chance.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
So I have a family recipe for sugar cookies, and they're just the basic classic sugar cookies, but they're thicker and they're chewier, but I personally prefer them thinner and crispy. And I know, or I'm sure there has to be a formula to change that and change the outcome of the recipe, but I'm not sure what that is.
Sure, a few things you can do. You can reduce the amount of flour in the recipe, so the liquid to dry ingredients is higher. That will tend to make a thinner cookie. Oddly enough, you can increase the amount of leavener because if you use a lot of leavener, the cookies will actually deflate. They'll rise and then they'll collapse on themselves, and that'll give you a very thin, crispy cookie as well. And then those really be the two things. I mean, what you don't want to do is add so much leavener you can taste that sort of soapy aftertaste because there's too much. But I would try going up about 50% in leavener. If it's a teaspoon or a teaspoon and a half of leavener, go up to two. And then also take a little bit of the flour out, like two or three tablespoons of the flour out, and see if that does it.
Well, Winthrop, thank you so much for calling in. Chris, your recipe for almond cake incorporates tangerines. It's also drenched in syrup, and our listeners can find details on our website. What is the allure of the syrup-soaked dessert?
Well, soaking cake with a syrup is a classic technique even in Europe, but it's also done throughout the Middle East. You know, like babka or that sort of thing. But if you, there are one layer cakes all over the world that would do that, especially all over Europe, as I said, the Middle East. So in this case, we have a syrup that's sugar, and instead of using water, as you would for a typical syrup, you use some orange or tangerine juice, the lemon juice, and we cook that syrup with a few bay leaves as well, although you could probably leave that out. But when you have a hot cake coming out of the oven, you puncture it, put a lot of holes in it using a small dowel or toothpicks or even a fork, and then you, over a period of a few minutes, you keep pouring the liquid over, brushing the top with a brush, and then it soaks into the cake. So you get a very moist cake, but you also get the contrast between the flavor of the syrup and the flavor of the cake. Again, this is a one-layer cake, so they're really easy to make, and they're just wonderful.
And making a syrup is a bit of an extra step, but would you say it's really worth it to make this recipe work?
The syrup takes about 5 minutes to make. So, I mean, when it comes to holiday baking, this would be probably the easiest thing you could do. It's just a few minutes to melt the sugar and create a syrup, yeah.
Another recipe your team provided us is French spiced bread. Where does the inspiration for this bread come from?
This is a classic French holiday bread, a piece, and it's just a spicy bread. It's sort of a dark bread, and it's really it's a classic French recipe. It's called pain d'épice, and it's just got a lot of herbs and spices. And you know, going back to spices, if you think about it. You know, there are 88 keys on the piano. Well, that's exactly the number of spices that the Ottoman Empire had in their repertoire. As I say, Northern Europe, maybe a dozen. And so, in a way, all my life I've been cooking with, one register of keys, right? but if you think about it, there are all those other keys there, white keys and black keys. And so when you start using more of them, the music gets a little more interesting, you know? So that's really all we're doing is we're trying to explore using the full range of things. And, you know, if you go into a supermarket today, you can find, I remember when I started cooking in the late 60s, early 70s, you couldn't find anything. You always had to go to some specialty store. And now you actually can find everything or you can get it online. And so a lot of the spices that I would never have cooked with 20 years ago, 10 years ago, are available everywhere, you know. And so you don't have to have 30 spices. But if you add 5 or 6 new ones to your repertoire, it really changes your cooking.
Let's bring in Nancy now, who joins us from Grafton. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, I shut off my mixer. Is it necessary to scald milk when you're making a yeast recipe? Years ago, of course, the milk on the farm, when I was little, it was straight from the cows. But now it's from a gallon jug. And that's one reason. You have to scald the milk before and let it return to a lukewarm temp before you start baking your challen. And also, is it smart to always put your glass baking dish at 25 degrees less than your metal one?
Both excellent questions. Scalding milk, as you said, I grew up on a farm too, and I drank, raw milk for years. The only reason you scald milk is to kill some of the enzymes in raw milk, which can be problematic in baking, like it's hard to make the milk thicken, for example, in a bechamel. But the fact of the matter is all milk is pre-scalded because it's all pasteurized, so you don't have to do that. That's an old-fashioned thing. glass baking dish, no, you don't have to do that. Reduce the oven 25 degrees. I used to do that. And I find it really doesn't make much difference. So you go ahead and do that. The only thing I would worry about, however, is dark baking tins or pans. They do absorb heat much more so than lighter colored pans. And I find they do tend to over-brown the exterior of a cake or a loaf pan, a loaf cake, quick bread. My recommendation, a glass is fine, or a lighter colored or medium colored pan, but I would be careful of the really dark pans. In that case, I might actually reduce the oven temperature 25 degrees.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for calling in, and you can go back to your cooking. Chris, you know, I'm wondering, baking utensils, this is the time of year that many people are bringing gifts to each other when they go to parties, host gifts. Are there particular baking utensils that you are just go-to, the ones you use, that perhaps might also be a nice gift to someone?
Sure. Well, there's a little gadget I came across recently. It's about $12. It's from Tovolo, T-O-V-O-L-O, and it's like a little compass. You put it's plastic, it's red plastic, and you put the center of it, the little knob, in the middle of your rolled-out pie circle, and then you run it around. You create a circle with it, and it has a little cutter at the end, and it will perfectly cut any size pastry dough. Pie dough. You can do it either by the diameter of the pan or the diameter you want of the pie dough. And it has three or four different kinds of cutters to get scalloped edges or clean edges. And, you know, I've been doing this for, 40 years, and I'm not the kind of person who likes that kind of gadget, but it really works well, I've got to say. And that's a really fun, like, stocking stuffer. So I really like that a lot. In terms of something a little more serious, I think a serrated peeler is a great thing. Serrated peelers can do peaches and fruits, stone fruits and tomatoes. It does a much better job than a regular peeler, so I like that just a lot. I think a tapered rolling pin, a thin one, is great. I don't like the roller-bearing ones that are too heavy. I like to feel the dough and not overwork it, so I think that's a great gift as well. I think a good two other things that are really fun gifts are a good timer. That takes care of baking times, make sure it can time more than one thing at a time. I always set the timer, the first timer, halfway through baking, and the second one to all the way through baking. And I think an instant-read thermometer, a good one, because even if you're baking breads or even cakes or cheesecake, you can measure the inside, and it gives you a great reading on what's actually going on and when it's ready.
Well, Chris, we are out of time. Speaking of timers, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Chris Kimball is the host of Milk Street Radio, an alum of America's Test Kitchen, and he now has a TV show, a magazine. He runs a cooking school in Boston. This hour of the morning show was produced by Keely Boltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. And now let's get cooking on our year-end membership drive goal. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Mike Arnold. This is our year-end membership drive on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support is vital to all the programs on WPR, and that's why we're here to ask you for a gift right now as 2017 comes to an end, our centennial year, and we look forward to starting 2018 strong. Make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio does a magical thing every day. It brings interesting people right to your very living room or wherever you happen to be, whether you're walking your dog, driving your car, and you're able to not only hear what they have to say, but in some cases actually ask them questions yourself. And this was a good example with Christopher Kimball. And if you appreciate the fact that there is a service here in Wisconsin that allows you to engage with a lot of different things, now's the time to support it because those conversations are made possible by you.
Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when we say make a pledge, we mean make a pledge because I think we're just like one pledge away from meeting our goal for this hour. So if we can get one call from you, this is one of those moments where we're just talking to you. We're not assuming that other people are going to do the same thing. We're just assuming you're going to do it. So make your donation now in support of the programs you enjoy, and you will make a difference. You'll get this pledge started right on the right foot at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And think about our monthly giving program that's becoming more popular. In fact, we have more than 22,000 sustainers, and that number is growing by the day. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Mike, how are we doing on the pledges?
We are now one pledge over. So everybody made a difference this hour, and we have another hour coming up, so stay tuned for that.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.